Everyone, thank you for tuning in to the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. It's March 2018, and you're listening to episode 62 of Postmodern Realities, and I'm Melanie Cogdill, managing editor of the Christian Research Journal. On this episode, I'm joined by Melissa Kane Travis, who is an assistant professor of apologetics at Houston Baptist University and a PhD candidate at Faulkner University. Melissa is the author of Science and the Mind of the Maker, What the Conversation Between Faith and Science Reveals About God, and this book will be published this July. Melissa has written a feature article for the Volume 41, Number 1 issue called A Grand Cosmic Resonance, How the Structure and Comprehensibility of the Universe Reveal a Mindful Maker. Melissa, it's good to have you on.
Thank you for having me, Melanie.
Well, can you please explain to us what you mean by cosmic resonance?
Sure. So cosmic resonance is a phrase that I use to describe this remarkably fortunate situation we find ourselves in when it comes to the enterprise of the natural sciences. It turns out that we live in a world that time and time again shows itself to be mathematical at a very fundamental level. And in addition to that, here we are, creatures with higher faculties, the very higher faculties that are required for recognizing the eternal immaterial truths of mathematics and then turning around and applying those appropriately to the physical world. So without this three-way resonance between the material stuff of the cosmos, the eternal truths of mathematics, and the human mind, the sciences would have been virtually impossible. And it's not just that we wouldn't know much beyond maybe surface level about nature based on just plain out naked eye observation. All of the technology that we enjoy today would have never come about if we weren't able to harness mathematics and use it as a scientific tool. So that's what I mean when I talk about cosmic resonance, this matter, mind, mathematics situation that we find ourselves in.
So is this idea of cosmic resonance, is that something that's a recent development in philosophical apologetics?
Well, the answer to that is a bit complex. The short answer is no, it isn't really a recent development in Western thought, maybe a little bit more recent in the formal discipline of Christian apologetics. So if we go way back to the beginning of Western thought, we see strong traces of an awareness of what I'm calling cosmic resonance, at least as far back as the ancient Greek philosophers, so especially the Pythagoreans and the Platonists. So these guys saw mathematical orderliness in nature, particularly when they would observe the regularities of stellar and planetary movement. Of course, they didn't have telescopes back then, but they did lots of naked eye observations and kept extensive records. And so they were cognizant of the fact that mankind alone has this capacity to recognize and document this orderliness in nature. So some of these philosophers believed that the rationality that's manifest in nature and then our ability to explore that rationality is due to the existence of a rational source of all things, including the human mind. So they would say things like, well, mankind has a spark of the divine within himself, and that's what makes insight into nature possible. So we're looking at millennia ago that these kinds of thoughts were being taught and put down on paper. So eventually, the cosmic resonance idea was integrated into Jewish and Christian thought because theologians recognized, wow, there's an essential truth that this Greek philosophy supports, this idea of a rational creator of all things, but in whose image we're actually made. And then you can fast forward from the early church to the scientific revolution in the 16th and 17th centuries. And there we have great men like Galileo and Kepler, and they talked about the universe being written in the language of mathematics. And then Kepler and Robert Boyle saying things like, the man who studies the natural world is actually acting as a priest in God's cosmic temple, learning to see something of the mind of God in the creation. So they all believed that we're able to do mathematical scientific work and discern the mathematical laws of nature precisely because we're made in God's image. And then we come to our day, present day, apologetics, and we have theologians, mathematicians, and physicists all recognizing this phenomenon that I'm calling cosmic resonance. So at Oxford, we have scientist and theologian Alistair McGrath, mathematician John Lennox, who've both written about it in one way or another. And then physicist and Anglican priest John Polkinghorne, he's had a lot to say about the way the human mind fits with the mathematical universe, kind of like a hand-in-glove fit. But I'd really like to see this idea of cosmic resonance get much more exposure in contemporary Christian apologetics, because I think it makes for a powerful case for a creator and for our special relationship to that creator.
Now, you were just saying a few minutes ago that this idea is going all the way back to the ancient Greeks. So did they see this resonance specifically as pointing to the existence of God?
Well, when it comes to the ancient Greeks, it totally depends on what you mean by God and which ancient Greek you're talking about. But in general, they most definitely saw the resonance as being indicative of a rationality that transcends humanity in some respect. But not all of them thought that this transcendent rationality was some personal entity who was involved in the affairs of mankind. Some of them had more of a pantheistic or a panentheistic view, but essentially they're philosophizing on their observations of the natural world and on man's mental capabilities led them to a really important conclusion, even though it wasn't a complete conclusion. And this conclusion was that the world's inherently rational and that human beings have minds that are fit to appreciate this rationality. And I think this is an excellent example of what the Apostle Paul was talking about when he said that no one has an excuse for not being aware of the very existence of God, because we see God through the things that he has made.
Well, what would you say, you know, you're talking about this going all the way back to the ancient Greeks. What do you say to Christians who are very wary about promoting ideas that are rooted in ancient Greek philosophy when we're talking about a Christian worldview?
I think there's a widespread misconception, and I would even say some fear among a lot of Christians, especially those who haven't studied the classics and the historical interaction that actually exists between ancient philosophy and Christian theology. And so the misconception they seem to have is that any idea that comes from a non-Christian source is somehow dangerous or threatening because it could corrupt our theology. And so we need to compartmentalize the two things completely. And that's simply false. Because every man and woman is made in the image of God, and because God's revealed truths in nature, what we call his general revelation to man, great thinkers, even great thinkers who weren't Christians, have managed to arrive upon important truths without the enlightenment provided by scripture, or what we would call special revelation. And because all genuine truth is God's truth, we as Christians, we're free to utilize good philosophical ideas and arguments to further the gospel. There was a 4th century Greek bishop who I love to quote, St. Basil of Caesarea, and he used a great analogy for this practice. He said, when Christian scholars read works written by non-believers, we should be like the honeybee. We don't have to visit every single flower with no discrimination. We don't take everything there is from a certain writing. We only take what's beneficial to promoting the truth. And so when Christians use what are commonly referred to as the pagan classics or the ancient Greek classics, that's the mindset that we go into them with. We look for things that would be valuable in helping us to better communicate the gospel, especially to non-believers.
You're listening to the Postmodern Realities Podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest is Melissa Kane Travis. Melissa has written a feature article for the Volume 41, Number 1 issue, and it's called A Grand Cosmic Resonance, How the Structure and Comprehensibility of the Universe Reveal a Mindful Maker. To read her article, please subscribe to the journal, and we have a new lower subscription rate of $33.50 for a 6-issue subscription. It used to be $39.50. So to subscribe, please visit the subscription page at equip.org. Well, you were just talking to us a few moments ago just about, you know, some hesitations that Christians might have to, you know, some of these pagan thinkers. But on the flip side of that, some skeptics claim that Christian theology contains very little original thought. In other words, that we have adapted ideas from ancient pagan thinkers. So how do you respond to someone who says that this kind of argumentation is just another example of that kind of a thing?
Right. That's absolutely true. So what we call pagan myth theory is the argument that the central tenets of Christianity, like the incarnation, death, and resurrection of Jesus, are simply borrowed from pagan mythology. They're not real historical events. That idea is an entirely different concern from what we're doing here. So adapting pre-existing philosophical arguments that are rooted in observation of the world around us and using them for Christian theology and apologetics, that's simply taking good formulations of truth about the world and making use of them for a higher purpose. So we're not actually taking what we could call quintessentially Greek thinking and turning it around and making it into a tenet of Christianity. Rather, we're adopting their method of observing mankind, observing the world, and seeing, wow, they drew some really sharp conclusions about things. And some of this philosophy could be put to excellent use for the project of theology or apologetics. So it's just a different thing altogether.
But isn't it true that this kind of apologetic argument only gets to basic theism and not to the gospel and all the way to Christianity in its fullest sense?
Well, I think it gets us beyond basic theism because it strongly implies the existence of a creator, but it goes a little beyond that and it implies the existence of a creator with whom we have a special intellectual kinship. And this is part of the traditional Christian doctrine of the Imago Dei, or the image of God in us. And we have to remember, besides that, that each individual apologetics argument out there is only one piece of a really big puzzle. Apologetics is a cumulative project, and each individual piece has its own work to do. So what I would call the cosmic resonance piece of the puzzle is something that gets us a bit beyond just the existence of God. And I think that's great because it interlinks with arguments that are more directly related to core doctrines besides the existence of God, such as arguments for the historical Jesus and arguments for the resurrection. So I think it's a really cool way that we can use an argument that involves the natural sciences, but it's not one that could be accused of just pointing to deism, for example.
Well, I know that there's skeptics out there, like intellectual skeptics, that often claim that the rise of, you know, modern science and so forth and progress in the sciences has lessened the probability of God's existence. And not just like intellectual scholars, but a lot of times I'll even see that on social media as people are discussing things, or if you're trying to discuss spiritual things, they say, well, I don't believe it, you know, and the tagline is because science, you know, so because science is out there and all the things that we know, the idea that God exists is even lower than before. So how would you respond to that claim?
I'd say that precisely the opposite is true. When the giants of the scientific revolution saw the mind of God in the mathematical laws of nature that they were discovering, they never would have dreamed that 20th and 21st century physics and cosmology would reinforce that notion to such an astounding degree. So now, based upon our best scientific knowledge, our universe is more explicable in the language of mathematics than it ever has been before. And besides that, philosophical arguments such as the argument from reason and the arguments for the existence of a soul have come about and added a really important dimension to the discussion, because now it's not only do we have to explain the fundamentally mathematical universe, we also have to explain how it is that blind cosmic processes could lead to human rationality that's fit to grasp these concepts and do the amazing work that we've done in science. So I would say that the tables can be completely turned on that materialist because science argument, because my claim would be science could never even come to exist if it were not for a rational creator in whose image we're made.
But wouldn't those people also argue that if we say that there are great scientists who are also Christians, it was because they were Christians, they saw positive theistic implications in scientific discoveries, and that is not true of scientists who aren't Christians?
Well, they would be wrong on that count as well. There have been great men of science just over the past century who certainly saw positive theistic implications in scientific discoveries. One example would be Robert Jastrow. He was a staunch agnostic, and he founded the Goddard Space Institute over at NASA. But in his TV interviews, he was a very prolific TV interviewee. And in his writings, he would often remark that the standard model of cosmology, Big Bang theory, strongly suggested a creator. He talked about divine implications of the science. He just wasn't willing to abandon his worldview. And then earlier in the 20th century, we have Albert Einstein. And he made several telling statements about seeing divine rationality in the fundamental structure of nature. He actually said, it's a miracle. He used the word miracle, that the universe is even comprehensible. In other words, the fact that the world is mathematically ordered and we human beings can decipher that order goes far, far beyond what we could reasonably expect if everything's just the result of blind, undirected processes. Einstein said what we should expect is a chaotic universe that we can't even make heads or tails of. And so it's absolutely false that only Christian scientists, or scientists who are Christians, to get the terminology correct, saw theistic implications in their discoveries. There have even been agnostics and atheists who have been willing to say, yeah, this certainly looks as if it points towards a higher power.
So is there any current discussion about, in terms of our contemporary, you know, philosophical circles, do they discuss this idea that you call cosmic resonance?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, we do have great thinkers such as Alistair McGrath, John Lennox, and John Polkinghorne, who have both written and spoken about it, though I don't think that they use this phrase that I'm using, cosmic resonance. In addition to them, though, we have other respected philosophers who've contributed some additional facets to the argument, I guess you could say. So guys like William Lane Craig, J.P. Moreland, Victor Reppert, who's done some important work on the argument from reason, and that's directly related to my idea of cosmic resonance. So my personal goal in my research is to kind of pull some of these newer threads together and weave them into what the great Western tradition has already given us as the, I guess you could say, the intellectual pedigree of cosmic resonance, and to also just draw more attention to the argument.
So this whole conversation and dialogue about science and faith, that of course it can lead to a lot of heated debate about how we can harmonize science and theology, and what perspective does this idea that you're calling cosmic resonance, what does it best align with?
Well, I think the great thing about the idea of cosmic resonance is that anyone, no matter what view they take on divine creation, no matter how they interpret the creation account of Genesis, they can fully embrace this because it transcends issues about the age of the earth and evolutionary theory. Basically, it takes the entire discussion to a higher plane altogether. And that's one of the things that I really love about it.
You mentioned Victor Reppert, and I do want to tell our listeners that he has a good book on this issue. It came out quite a long time ago, I'm going to say like 15 years or more, called C.S. Lewis's Dangerous Idea in Defense of the Argument from Reason. So I think he probably talks about it in there. Well, finally, I want to end with some fun rapid-fire questions for Melissa. So Melissa, cold cereal or oatmeal?
Oatmeal.
And I noted at the beginning that you're in the process of getting a PhD. So what is your dissertation about?
So my dissertation is very directly related to what we've just been talking about. I am a huge history buff. I love intellectual history and talking about the roots of ideas. I am particularly fascinated with Johann Kepler. He was a devout Christian of the Lutheran tradition who talked about thinking God's thoughts after him when we do the mathematical sciences. And that captured my attention and imagination in a way that nothing else ever has. And so what I'd like to do is kind of work with the thought of Johann Kepler in this concept of cosmic resonance and maybe make a recommendation to the broader apologetics community, make an argument for why this is a really excellent approach to doing scientific apologetics.
And for some of our listeners who might not know who Kepler was, when did he live?
So Kepler is from the 17th century. He was a correspondent of Galileo, and he was the discoverer of the fact that planets do not orbit the sun in a circle. They actually orbit in an elliptical path, or like an elongated oval. So he gets lots and lots of credit for helping to turn astronomy into a very exact theoretical science.
And do you know how to change a tire?
I do.
Well, that's impressive. I would just call AAA. What was your very first paid job?
I was the gift wrap department for a small children's boutique in my hometown.
Oh, well. Well, thanks, Melissa, for being a guest on the Postmodern Realities podcast.
Thank you for having me. It was fun, Melanie.
Today's guest is Melissa Kane Travis. Melissa has written a feature article in the Volume 41, Number 1 issue called A Grand Cosmic Resonance, How the Structure and Comprehensibility of the Universe Reveal a Mindful Maker. To read her article, please subscribe to the journal. We have a new lower subscription rate of $33.50. And if you would like to subscribe, please visit us at equip.org. We'd like to hear from you, so connect with us on social media, like the Bible Answer Man Facebook page, and follow CRI, Christian Research Journal, Hank Canagraph and the Bible Answer Man on Twitter. Follow the Bible Answer Man on Instagram, and please subscribe to the Bible Answer Man channel on YouTube. If you like this episode, please subscribe to the Postmodern Realities podcast on iTunes, and please rate and review our podcast. And we'd like you to share this episode on your social media accounts. Be sure you tune in daily to the Bible Answer Man broadcast hosted by CRI President Hank Canagraph, who answers your questions live on air. To ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Hank is also regularly live streaming on Facebook and YouTube, so please go to equip.org for dates and times. In addition, head to iTunes and subscribe to Hank Unplugged, which is Hank's new audio podcast. Follow Hank off the grid, where he has in-depth conversations with some of the brightest minds discussing topics you care about. So until our next Christian Research Journal author conversation, thanks for listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast.